Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, welcome to the Brad and Bunny Basketball Podcast, featuring former Sydney Kings captain and multimedia performer Brad Rosen, alongside Australia's longest-serving basketball writer and blogger, Buddy Nodge, and me, Gilar the Invincible, the voice of the man you just had to have. Now, talking all things NBL and WNBL, here's Bradley.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brad Rosen, and welcome to the Brad and Botty Basketball Show. With me is Botty Nodge. Botty, what is your best bit about round three?
NBL, I think I've got to say the Bryce Cotton shot. That's the second time that Perth have beaten Melbourne in the last 11, 12 seconds after United had the game. That's a heartbreaker. The first one was Tirico White a couple of weeks ago, and then for Bryce Cotton to hit that shot, and I mean, he really wanted it bad, and he took it. He made it. He is the best player in our league. What about yourself? You've watched the whole round. What did you come away with?
Well, I think it's the two teams that haven't lost a game. I thought Southeast Melbourne Magic to be the first. Magic, did you hear that? Southeast Melbourne, I'm so used to that. Southeast Melbourne Phoenix to be the first team that has gone 3-0 ever to win three games starting a new team. I thought they were brilliant. Yep. And the Kings really impressed me on Friday night. It wasn't their best game of basketball, but good teams win the ones they aren't supposed to. And I thought they did a really good job of that. So both teams for me.
Okay. Speaking of the Kings, bit of news.
Yeah, there is. Breaking news, actually. Kevin Lish, he didn't play on the weekend. We were told he'd be out for one, maybe 2 weeks. We have now heard that it's a, if I'm not mistaken, fractured or broken ankle, and he's out for 8 weeks.
Well, yep. That's always the danger as you're getting older, but that could happen to everybody. If it was a soft tissue injury, I would be less surprised. But that's a shocking thing. You believe they're bringing in someone else?
Yeah, they will. They've said they'll bring in someone. I'm interested to know who this will be. Remembering they have an import up their sleeve, yep. So they've got a number of options they can do here. Is A, go with an Australian, but why would you bring an Australian point guard in when there's Sean Bruce? Who else is out there that you can replace? So I don't really see that they could do that. I think they're going to go for an American. It'll be interesting to see what American they go for. So, and if they do go an American, does he stay until Lish is back? Do you keep him for the rest of the season and then put someone else away? Because they can do that, having that import spot. So it'll be very interesting. And if they do go for an American, what one do they go? Pure point guard? Do they go a shooting guard? Do they go a two-way player? What's your thoughts?
What I'm interested in is, have you heard the rumor as to who it may be? Because there is a rumor floating around as to the identity of the possible replacement.
Yeah, I have heard a little bit of a rumor that it could be the import that was with Adelaide, the point guard that got replaced by Jerome Randall.
DeSean Taylor?
Yeah, so I'm not sure how true that is.
In answer to your question, though, I guess it would what would determine his future with the Kings is how well he fits. So if he's a replacement for Kevin, and when Kevin's ready to come back, they don't need that extra person in that rotation, he's gone. But if he's a really good fit and he complements everybody else and will complement Kevin when he gets in, well, then they'd keep him. So I think they're in a really strong position as far as that goes. Now, if I'm not mistaken, their 4-0 start is the best one in the club's history or equal to.
Well, it's actually equal, and I was lucky enough to be assistant coach for 2 years there, both times where we won the championship under the great Brian Gorgian, and we were 4-0 to start those as well. So very, very, very interesting, and I am interested to see what they do. And, geez, I feel for Kev. Like, he's such the nicest guy in the world. He's absolutely up there in the Damian Martin nice category. And, he's had some injuries in Sydney. And I feel for him. And I think he signed a 2-year deal, if I'm not mistaken. So at least he's got this year and next year. But, wow, he's just such a good player. And I feel for him. He must be so frustrated.
Absolutely. And at this age, you're really expecting the injuries to be soft tissue, like calf, hamstring, and for it to be an ankle fracture. That's just absolutely dreadful news. Feel for him as well. We've got a bit of WNBL news. Got a bit of WNBL news too.
Oh, throw it at me. Yep.
Ariel Atkins. She is a 5'8 point guard from the Washington Mystics. Just won a WNBA championship. She's arrived in Perth, joining the Perth Lynx and the WNBL. They're coming off that's a real big one, because
that's huge.
And she's going to make a big difference, because they dropped a couple on the weekend.
They lost to Bendigo. I saw that. And the Flyers.
That was amazing. I mean, the Flyers was an overtime game, and Alison Schwagmeyer-Belger was just phenomenal for Perth with 34 points, 12 rebounds. She just had an extraordinarily good game. But she just really ran out of legs in the match against Bendigo, because they would have been expected to win that. They were 10 up at quarter time, and Bendigo, Carly Ernst just had her best game as a WNBL player against her old club, Perth. So, Bendigo's on the board as well.
Yeah, we will talk about that a little bit later, but 29 and 16 for Carly, so a great game there. Talking about this round, obviously round three, Sydney Kings opened up a win against New Zealand Breakers. Now, Cairns Taipans beating Perth. We'll come back to that one on Friday night. Yep. Adelaide beating Brisbane. The Phoenix getting their win against Illawarra. Kings backing up over the ditch, beating New Zealand. Perth Wildcats, you've already mentioned, on a dagger, beating the Melbourne United. And, of course, last night, Adelaide 36ers getting it done against Illawarra. What did you think? We can talk each game, but I want to start with Perth Wildcats. What has gone on there on Friday night, buddy?
I don't want to take anything away from Cairns, because they were magnificent, and I love their body language and their attitude and confidence throughout the entire game. So that didn't happen at some point where they thought, oh, we're a chance, and things changed. They went in with a game plan. They played terrifically well. So I don't want to take anything away from them. I love Scott Machado's performance, 18 points and at 70%, and just ran that team. I know a lot of credit went to Cam Oliver and also to Majok Deng, and well-deserved, but I thought Machado was the key to that. I can't help feeling, Brad, and as a former NBL player yourself who played on good teams, there are times when you have two games on a weekend and you kind of look at the first one and think, yeah, we can pencil that one in, because the second one is the one. You know, you're looking over to United, that's the team you just played a grand final series against, and I just wonder if their minds were right at the start of that game. And if they weren't, the way Cairns played, they weren't going to catch them.
Well, I do want to correct you there. One thing, Boddy, is I did play for the Sydney Kings and we did have back-to-back games, but you know we were called the Violet Crumbles. There was no game that I thought we were going to pencil in. I went one game at a time and I was praying every single one of them. Anyway, but to answer your question, I think you're right. And look, I think all of us, if you would have asked someone, can Cairns win in Perth after being 0-3 to start the season, you'd be like, come on, give me a break. It's going to be a cricket score. It looks like Perth did that, but they bounced back in a really good win. And I reckon Melbourne would have been looking over their shoulder, watching that Cairns game and thinking, oh my God, what are we up for now? They've come back from overseas, United. They played well, but now they're 0-3 to start the season. And Perth Wildcats, geez, they own them at the moment, don't they?
Yep. But just before we get off Cairns, though, I don't want to take anything away from them, because they won in Perth last year too. I think the significance of the win was the margin. 23 points, the biggest loss Perth has ever had in that arena in a regular season game. And that is the thing that shocked most of us. I mean, two teams walk on the floor, you know, if one beats the other, no one's in real shock, even though they were 0-3. They have won in, as I said, they've got the best streak. They've won two straight in Perth now. But it was the margin. So then you look around a Sunday and you go, well, Perth is going to be fired up for this. As you say, United must have looked at that and gone, oh, my God, why did that have to happen to us?
Yeah.
But in fairness to United, I'm not the least bit worried about them. They are going to be there. Yep.
There's only one thing I'm worried about United. Are we going to see Prather? Now, I've said it, and I'll go on record as saying, I thought Casey Prather would be MVP of the season, and I predicted Melbourne United to win it.
Right.
Now, with him missing only three games at the moment, but preseason, everything, I hope that knee's okay. I know nothing. I have not got any insight into the Melbourne United. I haven't gone down there. I haven't seen them. I haven't spoken to them. I am going down there soon, so I'll certainly try and get to a training, have a chat. But I'm interested to know, because, you know, that's an import spot that's being taken up. Barlow's back and they've got their injuries sorted out there. Have you heard anything at all about what's going on with Casey Prather?
To imply that he might be a longer-term concern? Is that what you mean?
Is his injury long-term? If it's a couple of weeks, you deal with it, because he's that good, right? Remembering, this guy has played three seasons in the league, two with Perth and one back-to-back champions, one with Melbourne United 2 seasons ago. 3 seasons, 3 championships. You wait for him. But, geez, I hope he's coming back soon.
Yeah, and you hope he doesn't come back like Cedric Jackson, who has the same sort of resume, 3 seasons, 3 championships, and then down the
only Google you know that, don't you, buddy? Only you could know that. God bless you.
But no, I don't see. I haven't heard anything that would imply that Prather is a long-term concern, and that's why I'm not the least bit worried about that club. They'll start winning this weekend.
We'll come to those games. There's two teams I just want to bounce off you. One is New Zealand and one is Adelaide, but we'll start with New Zealand. Two losses against the Kings. I was actually at Friday night's game and commentated that, and I just get the sense with New Zealand, they are so talented, can win any game. They're just not a happy bunch. That is from an outside, you know, just looking, they do not look right. Something is not right there.
Yeah, I saw that in the preseason too. I thought there was a lot of bad body language. I know I'm putting a fair bit of store with that, but I do. I watch teams. I watch their huddles. I look at the import. Is he paying attention? I just watch. Yeah, and I've detected some issues in that group that will need to be addressed for them to be successful. I think the surprise of the weekend for most people would have been Adelaide, because a lot of people had them down at 6, 7, or 8, and
I've got to agree. I did as well until Jerome Randall came in. I think once they've picked up Jerome Randall, that's different for me. Sorry, keep going.
No. And that's fair enough. But I actually did like the group he put together. I thought it had more potential, say, than a Hawks team. I look at the Hawks and people got excited because of LaMelo Ball, and no problem. Aaron Brooks, no problem. I'm ticking those boxes myself.
Yeah.
I very much agree. But I'm also looking at AJ Ogilvie, and he's going to be brilliant 1 week. And he's going to be brittle the next week. You just don't know with AJ what you're going to get. I don't think Josh Boone's best days are in front of him.
Mm.
And I think David Anderson, he needs to play about 15 minutes. I reckon that's what you need from him, and he'll give you value. But if you're playing him 4 and 9 and all over the place, then you might as well not have signed him and just be giving those minutes to Sam.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've spoken about the Adelaide and now New Zealand, so we'll talk about Illawarra. They're 1 and 5 and 1 and 4 out of 5 games. And I'm just not convinced that they've got the right mix at the moment. There's different players playing. I think the starting five has sorted itself out. There's a lot of guys getting in and out, and they don't look to have that mix yet, which Matt Flynn has to work out what's best and how we're going to do this. Aaron Brooks is a flat out baller. I know that much, and he can flat out play. And I saw that interview after the game last night where he was just like, man, I just want to win. You know, I love that. I love seeing that. Love what he's bringing to the team, love what he's bringing to this league, but he makes 18-year-old mistakes. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what he's here for. And we know that. But, you know, a few more losses and this thing, you know, turns from 1 and 4 into 2 and 7 or 3 and 10, and the season's done.
Yeah, the hole's too big. Hole's too big to dig out of. Yep, and I'm worried about Todd Blanchfield. At times I look at him and he looks like he's not comfortable, is he?
Yeah.
No, exactly right. And I like Tim Conrad when he's on. I think he just plays flat out most of the time, but I don't think he's your starting power forward. I would gamble on Sam Froehlich. I know he's
how good was he last night? I thought he was brilliant last night. Yep. I thought he was fantastic.
Yep, and so I don't think they've settled. I don't think they've really settled on their group.
He's also in my NBL fantasy, I should mention too, so that's why I think he's a lot better than, you know, what it is. But anyway, that's a separate thing because I'm doing really well in NBA and NBL fantasy, so thank you, Sam Froehlich. Body, I'm going to move on here, and I want to go on to round 4, and I want you to tell me your thoughts on who's wins. Let's start Thursday night. New Zealand Breakers take on Illawarra. This will be interesting because it's our first next stars, LaMelo Ball and RJ Hampton together. I believe New Zealand will get this win. You?
So do I. Then that would take Illawarra now, if we're correct, to 1-5.
Correct.
And that hole starts to look like a chasm.
Yeah, agreed. Friday night doubleheader, Adelaide versus Cairns in Adelaide. Adelaide for me. You?
Yeah, same.
Well, Cairns are good on the road there, buddy. I'll be interested.
Yeah, no, they were good, but they're going to be good here too, but they won't win.
Here's the test for Southeast Melbourne Phoenix.
Yes.
Friday night over in Perth. Can they make it 4-0? For me, no. Your thoughts?
No, I agree. I think this is their first real challenge outside of Melbourne, and it's going to be a terrific game. I'm sure they're going to look good. But Perth, if we get the Perth we had on Sunday, they will win that game.
Yeah,
but if we get the Perth, they've got Illawarra to come in there, but I don't think they're going to be looking past the Phoenix at Illawarra. So,
mate, Phoenix at the moment, they've got Creek that is ranked 4th in rebounding and assists. He's equal 2nd in steals. He's currently the NBL's equal leading in scorer with 25.3 points. alongside his teammate, John Robison. So tell me these guys aren't humming. This is Perth's 600th home game in franchise history. Okay. So that's a very interesting one. But Creek and Nick Kay, that's a great matchup. And John Robison versus Bryce Cotton. Wow, my lips are already salivating. Melbourne United, we turn to Saturday now, another doubleheader. Melbourne United versus New Zealand.
United, yep. That's when I think they get going.
I agree. I think New Zealand split the round, and I think Melbourne United, I don't want to say the word desperate because then everyone's like, oh, God, we're in trouble. No. But I think the desperate that they need to be will get that one. And a good one here, Sydney Kings versus Brisbane. Brisbane started the season well and then have gone into a little bit of a funk, if you can call it that way. Won their first two, lost their next two, lost Adelaide on the road last round. This is going to be a real interesting test for Sydney without Kevin Lish again. It would not surprise me Bullets to get it, but I'm swaying towards Sydney at home.
No, I can't see Brisbane winning it. I'm not a believer in Brisbane yet. They haven't made me a believer. I don't think they've got their imports right. I don't think they've got their point guard right. So I think a bit like Illawarra, a lot of people put a lot of store by the names and the best case scenario for every name. You look at a list of players and you think this is a good team because you're thinking about every player at their best. All right. I mean, you look at that team, you go, Cam Glidden, he's a hell of a player. Yeah, he is at his best. But do you get his best every week? Because if the answer to that is no, then that team isn't as good as you're thinking it is or you're imagining it is. So that's the way I look at Brisbane. I'm not a believer. And, Sydney's down Kevin Lish, but they were last weekend too, and they got two wins over New Zealand, over a New Zealand team that is laden with talent. We can't say they haven't got talent. Yeah. So they're very much in the mix. I mean, all they've done is lose to one club. So, I think Sydney will get that. I would be surprised. My opinion of Brisbane would start to change if they won that one.
Yeah, good call. Sunday, another doubleheader. Jeez, I'm loving these doubleheaders. The Phoenix versus the 36ers in Melbourne. I think Phoenix get that one.
Yes, I do too. I think Mitch Creek will be really up for that game. I mean, a couple of years ago, I might have said he'd be up and he'll get a couple of quick fouls because he'll be too ready to go, too anxious and do a couple of silly things. That's not Mitch Creek anymore. He's a mature star basketball player. He'll be good. You mentioned that he was leading a number of stats. I think he's third in bad hairstyles behind Craig Moller and Jared Kenny. I think Jared Kenny's number one spot at the
moment. Jared Kenny's now. Man, I love that, but come on, Jared. What's going on there? Mitch Creek, no quit. He will look to raise some hell. That's as simple as it is. He is going to want to stamp on the Adelaide 36ers. And what I've loved, what Mitch has said, literally since the day all of this happened, and we know what the situation is he has always said, love the club, love the players, just don't like that organisation. Love Adelaide people. So he is going to want to bring some dirt down on them. No question. Also, Illawarra versus Perth in Illawarra as that doubleheader. Tough for both teams after playing. So I want to hear your thoughts first.
Well, Illawarra's, they're coming back from Auckland. And the Wildcats are coming in from Perth. So it's 6-1, half a dozen of the other. So I don't think the travel should impact on one team more than the other. So if you're just going, okay, let's just look at raw talent, then you got to go with the Wildcats. You have to. But I'm still my jury is still a little bit out on Dario Hunt. He's had a good game and he's had a couple of okay games. I would like to see a bit more consistency from him, but you've got to give guys time to sort of settle in, get used to the refs, of that. Eric Griffin's having those issues at Adelaide.
I just know Illawarra are going to have that game. And what I mean, they are going to shoot rock. They're going to hit the three. They're going to be running and gunning. And I don't know when that's going to come, but after and if they lose on Friday night to a New Zealand, I just have a feeling. Oh, I'm sorry, that was Thursday night, so they got a couple of days break. I just have a feeling if they click, geez, they're going to be fun to watch. So that would be an interesting one. And then we round it out on Monday, Melbourne up in Cairns. A real interesting one.
Yeah, well, they gave Sydney a bit of a touch up in Cairns, but they didn't get the win.
Yeah.
And if you've got Melbourne on a similar level to Sydney, then you've got to go, this will be a tight game, but Melbourne should win. That's the only conclusion you can draw if you're looking at Melbourne, Perth, and Sydney as your three outstanding clubs. And there are certain games they've just got to get, and that's one of them. That would bring them back to 2-3. assuming that they beat New Zealand.
Assuming they win the other one. Yeah, I agree.
Yep, and they're right.
I think they'll get that one as well.
Let's talk WNBL now, Brad, because that season, the first 2 weeks have been very interesting, and we've got a terrific round coming up. The last round started with an overtime game between Southside and Perth at Dandenong. I don't know if you watched it, but it was a terrific game of women's basketball. 97-93, the final score. I mean, that is, you know, there were days when we were happy if the final score was 67-63. So the talent level in the WNBL right now, is it an all-time high?
Oh, it is. I caught the end of that, actually, and I caught the good end because yeah. It was the overtime. It's brilliant. Really enjoyable game.
And then the Lightning went up to Townsville, where they just controlled the game pretty much all the way, which was a little bit of a surprise. No, well, they didn't have Crystal Langhorne, and they still down Laura Hodges. Now, Crystal Langhorne was their WNBA power forward center, so she's got a bit of a knee issue, and they're still working through that. They activated Jenny Rintala, who is an import that played in the WA State League and has been training with the team. So, you know, they kept the balance of the team, and they got that result with a really good all-round game. It, you know, looking ahead at the next round, I think Adelaide might have their problems when they head to Perth. But just quickly, we've got Southside continued their winning streak, beating the Sydney Uni.
I don't think that was a shock, was it? Not for
no.
It certainly wasn't for me either. Yep.
Melbourne, Bendigo did really well against Melbourne, got it to a 4-point game considering they lost a little bit more heavily last week in Bendigo to Melbourne. So that was a good performance. Maybe gave an indication that they were ready to step up. And then Canberra knocked off Townsville, as we also expected. So then Bendigo beating Perth, that was a terrific result because, as I said, they were 10 down at quarter time. Perth was going, chugging along very nicely, that they were going to get the win and get out of there. And instead, Carly Ernst just decided, no, other things are going to happen. Abby Wierung was another one that stepped up, and suddenly that game turned on its ear, and Bendigo won going away, 91-79.
29-16 for Carly. That is a tremendous 6 offensive boards, I should mention as well, in 36 points. I'm sorry, 36 minutes. That was brilliant. And obviously the last quarter, 26-13. So, yeah. You know, good effort.
Carly likes an outside shot, and there's many of us that believe that she modelled her game on Oscar Forman, which meant she would never get an offensive rebound in her life, and she got 6. So obviously, well, Oscar, you're off the hook if you should be listening.
So what you're saying is the only key she knows is the one for the front door? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, something like that, but she'd certainly turn that around. That was if she could do that on a more consistent basis, then she would come back into conversations about the next level, you know, getting to WNBA where she was drafted a few years ago, or getting to the Opals where she was considered someone that would do that. But she's too erratic at this point. But if she can get something so her extremes aren't quite this extreme, you know, she can come back into calculations as a very important player forward.
Fantastic. So, I want to just talk to you. That was all the games, I believe, for the week. Yep. I'm going to just throw the games at you for the next round. You tell me who's going to win these.
Yep.
Melbourne Boomers versus the Capitals.
At this stage, the Capitals is chugging along really nicely. I like them to win that on the road.
Yep. Your Southside Flyers versus Bendigo Spirit.
They've got that at home, that at Dandenong. Southside should take that one. Bendigo, though, much better. They're improving every week.
And the game of the round for me, Perth versus Adelaide.
Yeah, I'd be happier if Adelaide had Langhorne suiting up. She had a double-double in her only game so far before aggravating her knee injury. So Atkins joins Perth. Yeah, they'd lost 2 on the road. They've got to win that. I'm going to favour Perth.
Yeah, I agree. Sydney Uni Flames versus the Capitals.
Again, at some point, Canberra is going to drop a game, but it's not going to be to Sydney at this particular juncture.
They look like they're struggling a little bit there.
They are.
And then obviously, Boomers, who played the Capitals a couple of nights earlier, will then have to go to Townsville and play them. Tough road double.
It is, and I think Townsville gets that because of what you just said. It's a really difficult to play and then go and play on the other side of the country because it's a fair haul up to Townsville, I think. That'll be a factor in that fourth quarter. And, Townsville will get it. Abby Bishop, Tess Madgen, it's a good group.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Okay, we're moving on to our favourite segments of the evening. So let's go with Nodger's Nasty. Let's start with that one first. Okay. So we'll start with you. Go for it.
I'm going first. Good. Excellent. I like that. I'm concerned about the unsportsmanlike foul. Now, I'm referring to the one that occurred late in the game, very late in the game, in the last 17, 18 seconds of the match between Adelaide and Illawarra on Monday night, where AJ Ogilvie grabbed Jerome Randall, puts him on the line, makes the free throws and the possession. Drimmick makes a free throw. Ball game's over, and the drama is taken out of it. Now, I don't have an issue with the referee calling that as an unsportsmanlike foul, because if you're not making a play on the ball, that's the interpretation. Fair enough, you know, that he had to make that call, and it was the correct call in the way the rules are done. And AJ Ogilvy, he should sit down and have a good look at himself, because we've been playing under that rule for a little while. So that was not one of his smartest moments. You know, he could have made a play on the ball, tried to steal it, fallen over, done all kinds of things rather than that. But then the next question becomes, if that's what you've got to do, then we've got an unsportsmanlike foul situation that's untenable, because you're leaving the referees, you're leaving them a situation to make no choice. They've got to make that call. So I think that's got to be revisited. I think the NBL is capable of adjusting that rule. You know, they can play by whatever rules they want. They're not bound by FIBA rules. And if they wanted to, they could reintroduce the jump ball, which is another bugbear of mine. But I think we've really got to have a look at that, because that just took all that drama of the last half a minute. It was over, because suddenly Ella's got two shots and possession. They're already leading.
Yeah.
This thing's over.
Look, this is a tough one, Boddy, for me, because I've been in meetings with referees, privy enough to be able to, when I commentate, we have meetings with referees and get interpretations. And and I see why they've gone down this path. The whole idea of this is, if you take, 4 or 5 years ago, there was a grand final series and Perth were in it, and they said that it was just a slugfest. You know, it was fouls and guys flopping it was just, it's New Zealand, you're right. And it was just a brawl. And the games was like 70-60 or 65-55 and stuff like that. And it was just no enjoyment. So one of the things that they wanted to do when, the new NBL started to grow was, we want to get high scoring games and we want to be able to make sure these are fun to watch. And one of those things is, let's not make the last 3, 4, 5 minutes or whatever it may be, let's not make it a slog fest where you foul and you shoot free throws. And the way people were fouling, they weren't playing at the ball. Mm-hmm. I actually love the rule for that reason. Right, you're not going to have people sitting in the crowd going, "Oh, here we go, free throw and timeouts." It's quick. It's enthusiastic. Players are not going to foul unless you're silly, like we know that happened on the weekend. Players are not going to foul and put teams in that situation. And basically, you got to play good for 40 minutes to get a win, not just try and slap someone in the last minute to get a win and miss free throws. So I'm actually a believer in it. I actually have no problems with it. I think it's the right way to go. Yes, sometimes they've got to call ones that aren't. And last night I saw a couple like that. But I don't think they were the wrong calls. Do I agree with it? That's a different conversation. Yes. What I am saying is, I like the rule. I've got no problems with it. And I don't see that any referee is calling them incorrectly.
No.
Now, whether we want to change the rule, mate, we could sit here for 5 hours and chat about that, which we have, by the way, but not on air.
But the onus is on the coaches then to make sure their players understand that 100%. If they're going to grab somebody or grab a singlet or trip someone or do something idiotic, you can't. That's right. That's right. You've got to make a play on the ball.
As a coach, you've got to be coaching for 39 minutes prior to that, not worry about it. And that's what I love. And that's as a coach coming into me, where it's like, well, you switch your on balls and your screens and your down picks and you do what you've got to do. Let's go to a zone or a press or do the things that are different that makes you be that one that gets a win nice and easy. So I'm not against it. I've got to be honest with you.
Give me your rattler. Rattler. Give it to me.
Yeah, my rattler are for this week, and geez, there's so many of them, but I can't go by Bryce Cotton. I cannot go by him with that. He's just an outright superstar. Yep. That three that he hit, and when he just waved goodbye to that Melbourne crowd afterwards, I just loved it. He was so just phenomenal. I love that. And he's just like, and you could just see, ta-ta. Ta-ta. He's just saying goodbye.
In the same way that I don't think there was anybody outside of Wildcats fans that didn't enjoy watching Cairns hand them their heads.
Yeah,
I think in the same way, there was nobody outside of Melbourne United fans that didn't enjoy seeing him wave the crowd off. That those were good moments. And I'll tell you what, well, I just got a second before we wrap.
Yeah.
I got to say, your interviews on the weekend, I really enjoyed them. Sean Marion has now won an NBA star championship winner with Dallas Mavericks. Your conversation with him, I thought, was one of the best interviews I've seen at a halftime situation. And Rod Hampton, what he had to say, I mean, you want to remind us what he said about his son playing NBL?
Two unbelievable interviews, and I got to be honest, they were the greatest interviews I've ever done in my time. Rod Hampton, beautiful guy, came up, and I actually asked him on air. I said, "What made you? Let's go back a few months, and what made you want to come down here and have your son playing here?" And his exact words were, "You can't get Andrew Bogut and Casper Ware in college." And I just absolutely love that. I thought that was a brilliant comment. And basically, you know, for our listeners out there, he's just saying, it doesn't matter what college you play in, it doesn't matter where you can't get this caliber. And that could be the marketing for the NBL for the next few seasons for that time.
Yes, absolutely. Great quote.
And thank you. It's very, very nice of you to say about the interview. But I'll tell you, it was a privilege to interview him, and they were so nice. Sean Marion was like, "No worries, mate. Come and sit down. We'll have a chat." And Rod was just so beautiful, and I really enjoyed those interviews. So thank you very much for saying that.
No worries.
Well, that's about it for the Brad and Body. Yeah, that's about it for the Brad and Body basketball podcast. We've had fun bringing this to you, and obviously we'll be on every week, and we're really looking forward to it. Body, thank you so much, and it's fantastic to be here with you.
See you next week.
Good on you. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you next week.